Welcome to the pulpit ministry of Christ Community Church in South Florida, aiming to make, mature, and multiply disciples by preaching and teaching God's Word based on the sufficiency of Scripture. And now, let's join our preacher for the message.
So we're continuing in Mark 13. As Pastor Bernie and Maddie are away on their anniversary getaway, praise the Lord, you can pray for them and just ask that God would bless that time that they spend together. And as we go into Mark 13, I just kind of want to go back a little bit and ask the Lord to speak to us and to give us a big picture of Mark 13 as we're coming to the near to the end of the chapter, and ask Him to speak to us and open our eyes and open our ears to understand, to see this passage with new eyes and maybe some fresh eyes this morning. I just want to pray. Father God, thank You, Lord, for this time, Lord, that we share. Lord, digging into Your Word, Lord, heaven and earth will pass away, but Your words, Lord, will not pass away. Lord, help us to feed on Your words this morning, Lord. To hear what You have said in it, Lord, and what You have for us in it, Father God. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear, Father God, Your truth and Your word, Lord, today. And Holy Spirit, teach us. Teach us from the word. Guide us, Lord, by Your Spirit as we dive into this time. Thank You, Lord, that You make the weak strong, Lord. So we pray even now in our own weakness, Lord, help us. And give us strength and give us faith and eyes to see in Jesus' name. Amen. In Mark 13, it says in verse 1, and as He came out of the temple, one of His disciples said to Him, look, teacher, what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings. And Jesus said to him, do you see these great buildings? There will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. And as He sat on the Mount of Olives, opposite the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked Him privately, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign when all these things are about to be accomplished? And Jesus began to say to them, see that no one leads you astray. Many will come in My name, saying, I am He, and they will lead many astray. And when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. These are but the beginning of the birth pains. But be on your guard, for they will deliver you over to councils, and you will be beaten in synagogues. And you will stand before governors and kings for My sake to bear witness before them. And the gospel must first be proclaimed to all nations. And when they bring you to trial and deliver you over, do not be anxious beforehand what you are to say, but say whatever is given you in that hour, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. And brother will deliver brother over to death, and father, his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death, and you will be hated by all for My name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. But when you see the abomination of desolation standing where he ought not to be, let the reader understand Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let the one who is on the housetop not go down, nor enter his house to take anything out. And let the one who is in the field not turn back to take his cloak. And alas, for women who are pregnant and for those who are nursing infants in those days, pray that it may not happen in winter. For in those days there will be such tribulation has not been seen from the beginning of the creation that God created until now and never will be. And if the Lord had not cut short the days, no human being would be saved. But for the sake of the elect whom he chose, he shortened the days. And if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ. Look, here he is. Do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise, perform signs and wonders to lead astray, if possible, the elect. But be on guard. I have told you all things beforehand. But in those days after the tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light and the stars will be falling from heaven and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. And here's our passage. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branches become tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. In our very first verse, it says, learn from the fig tree its lesson. Interestingly enough, it says here at the beginning of my Bible, it says, the lesson of the fig tree. But it should really say the lesson from the fig tree. And I would think that those two words have a significant difference. Because it's a lesson that the fig tree is teaching us. I brought you all a fig tree from our backyard. If you guys want to check it out at some point later, you can. There's some figs on it here around the top. There's some little baby ones coming in. And we're coming like to the end of our time of getting figs. The mockingbirds have been tearing up the ones that have been getting ripe. But the Lord is saying, humble yourself and learn from that which has been given to you to subdue. Think about the fact that God told us to subdue the earth, yet he's telling us to learn from a tree a lesson. I'm always amazed by God's teaching from his creation. For example, he tells those who are lazy to learn from the ant, how to prepare for winter and work hard and prepare for winter. For what can be known about God, it says in Romans chapter 1, is plain to them because God has shown it to them. For the invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have clearly been perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so that they are without excuse. God is speaking to us through his creation. He's expecting that as we're in this world, we're learning from that which he has made. And that's simply what's being said here. The disciples have asked, when will these things be? What will be the sign? And Jesus has been giving them plenty of information up until this point. I mean, we've gone through their persecution, the abomination of desolation, the Lord's return, all of that in that one answer that he's given them. And he's letting them know, you know what season you're in. You'll know what season you're in because the fig tree, just like the fig tree puts out its leaves near the end of spring, it lets you know that summer is coming. See, the fig trees, the leaves are going to start falling off in the fall and in the winter. But when spring's coming near the end of spring, not at the beginning of spring, but near the end of spring, it starts to put out leaves. And that lets the people know actually spring's coming to an end and summer's coming. And that's simply what the Lord is saying. I've given you the signs, watch for them. And when you see them, you know it's coming. See also, or likewise, when you see. So also, or likewise, when you see, there is a sense of being alert. Funny enough, Trace's mom and I were just talking about this, you know, kind of the world that we live in. And there's a sense that the Lord has been telling us this entire chapter. Be aware, be on guard, stay awake. Don't fall asleep. Don't get caught off guard. But it's going to be clear is his last part here. And so it's interesting because they're asking, when are these things going to happen? And he's given them some information of what things are going to happen. The tribulation is going to come. But then he's saying, but don't worry. When it comes, you're going to know it has that time has arrived. Kind of a little bit like in the sense that Pastor Bernie has mentioned, you know, sometimes people get into eschatology, the study of the end times so strong that everything's a sign of the Lord's return. Everything, you know, like it's tomorrow. It's like this is going to happen. You know, they're setting up, you know, whatever it might be. That rolls out in the Middle East becomes a sign of the tribulation about to begin or the Antichrist coming into power, whatever it might be. And I think he's just basically telling them, you'll know it when it gets here. It's kind of like this. We have three children, Jared, Jalen, and Janelle. And I've been there for all of their births. My wife, Cassie, for some reason, God made her to be able to birth children without much whining or complaining or anything like that. She's like this strong woman. When she's giving birth, it's just like, Carol was there when Janelle was born. We were at the birth center in Miami Beach. And the lady who was in charge of the birth center at the time, she didn't even believe Cassie was in labor. Because kind of labor with Cassie, she has like this really high pain tolerance, and it kind of goes like, ha, 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 he, he, everything's great. And then it's like, then she gets quiet. That's how you know there's a contraction. She gets quiet. So then she gets quiet. Everybody gets quiet. And then we're back to hee, hee, ha, 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 and everything's great. So you really don't know that she's actually going through labor or preparing for the actual coming of the child. But then there's this one thing that happens, or has happened all three times, and we won't find out if it ever happens again, but it has happened three times. For whatever reason, Cassie never breaks her water. It never breaks. So every time the doctor or the midwife has had to go in there, they get this really weird-looking plastic hook that scares the death out of me every time they do this. They poke the sack and the water comes out, and then Cassie says these three words. It's on now. Because up to that time, she'd be hee-hee-hee-ha-ha-ha, but once that sack gets broken, it's like, whoa, it's on now. And that's what the Lord is saying. All this other stuff is birth pains. When it's on, you're going to know it's on. When the time comes, oh, it's going to be on. You won't have to have any questions. Is the Lord? Oh, no, it's coming. It's on. So it's not going to be the beginning of birth pains any longer. If you look at the beginning of the verse, or of the chapter, sorry, it says in verse 7, and when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place. But the end is not yet. It's not time yet. Those are just the little contractions. What do you guys call those fake contractions that sometimes Braxton Hicks? There you go. I knew y'all would know that. Braxton Hicks. I couldn't remember that to save my life. It's not the, you know, those are some Braxton Hicks. It's not the real deal yet. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 11, if you want to turn there. 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 11. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. That's for the world to be surprised. It's not for you to be surprised. For you are children of the light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. There's that call to be awake and sober again. For those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us to wrath or for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live in him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. So that's the lesson the Lord has for his disciples from the fig tree. When summer's coming, you know it's coming. When it's on, you're going to know it's on. Then he says this next phrase in verse 30. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. And as of many things, in eschatological terms and debates that arise from eschatology and different views there are in eschatology, because there is some gray, let's say, in those things where people might have different opinions. There's a question about what is this generation? It says, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things. Well, these things were given to them right before this. I mean, he said, when shall these things happen? And he starts giving them all the different these things. But all those these things aren't all happening at the same time. So I'm going to tell you how we view this generation. We view this generation to be the people of the generation when summer comes. Whenever it's on, whenever that time comes, that is this generation. And that generation, when it comes on, when that time comes, is not going to pass away before all of this is accomplished. And I'll just give you a couple of reasons from here, from the chapter itself. In verse 10, it says, and the gospel must be proclaimed to all the nations. So even at this point, you would have to agree that the gospel had not gone out to all the nations. They haven't even gone to Samaria yet, right? But it says that the gospel has to go to all the nations. And today, folks, there's still nations out there that haven't heard the gospel. Believe it or not, there are missionaries who are dedicated to that work. We happen to know some who work in the Amazon with the Mako that we were blessed to go and see the beginning of that and to watch them write God's word and live among the Mako and learn their language so they could even speak to them the gospel, and how they sat there and they taught them God's word and then shared the gospel, and many came to Christ and they were baptized and they've set up their own churches out in the jungle near the Amazon, in the Amazon. So that nation was there. It was waiting for like 20 years asking for missionaries, and nobody had come even to them, even though they were asking for missionaries. So the gospel has to go to all the nations. Obviously, at this point, the closer you are to Christ's resurrection, the gospel has not gone to all nations. Some people believe that some of this has been accomplished already, that this generation has already occurred. The abomination of desolation, we have not seen that. We have not seen the abomination of desolation. Turn to 2 Thessalonians 2, 3 and 4, just to kind of see what does that look like. So when you see summer coming, here's what summer looks like, abomination of desolation. Second Thessalonians 2, 3 and 4. Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of perdition, or I'm sorry, in this Bible, destruction, who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. So that's a clear sign summer's coming. Unprecedented tribulation. The tribulation, as it's described here by Jesus, it says it will be a tribulation that nobody's ever seen from the beginning of creation till now or will ever see again. And although this world has had a lot of crazy times and we've gone through World War I and World War II, we have not been through the tribulation, definitely not described in the book of Revelation yet. Agree? And will not pass away. It says that this generation will not pass away. Well, we've had plenty of generations pass away since Jesus resurrected and went and ascended to the Father. So we've had many generations since then. So that last generational, like this is the cut, this is the end of the line. This generation will not pass away before all these things are done has not occurred yet. That generation we have continued on going. So those are just some reasons from this passage itself. So it says here, truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. And I want to show you four buts in this chapter. If you would go to verse 7. Verse 7. But the end is not yet. It says there, and when you hear wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is not yet. And then verse 9. But be on your guard, for they will deliver you to councils. And then it says in verse 14, but when you see the abomination of desolation coming. Verse 24, but those days after the tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the Lord's return will happen. So these things are going to take place in that generation. And before that, some of that will take, the disciples were being told of things that would happen to them then and there. After the Lord ascends, they were taken into synagogue and being there's some aspects of tribulation, or I'm sorry, persecution that we are going to go through. But the big biggies, these things are going to happen, those have not yet happened. They will happen in that generation, and when it does, that will be the last generation that we'll see. And I want to talk about really what is, I don't know if you noticed, but this is really, to me, the best part. And for whatever reason, this is entitled and sectioned off, the lesson from the fig tree. Love the fig tree. Fantastic. The lesson is, when it says it's on, it's on. When it says it's summer, it's summer. Great. Verse 31. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. At the beginning of the chapter, there's a period of time where a recorded conversation between Jesus and his disciples ends. It's not recorded. We have radio silence. Did you catch it at the beginning of the sermon? I tried to illustrate it to you. This is what they're getting. The Lord and his disciples have walked out of the temple. The center of Jerusalem's heart, where God is said to be, although the glory of the Lord is not filling that temple, where sins are atoned for, where fellowship and peace offerings are made to maintain peace and fellowship with God through the blood of bulls and lambs, the place where the priests intercede for the people of Israel day after day after day, the place where all of Israel comes and returns for God's feast that he set up. The world, Jewish or not, marvels at the temple. Where's that temple? Marvels at the temple. Some call it the eighth wonder of the world. That is Herod's temple. That is what it means to the world, and that is what it means to the Jews. This is where they come to worship God, right? To seek after God, to be right with God, to make atonement. This is that place. Go back to that other one. Sorry. This picture, the temple's in the middle. The actual temple's in the middle. Surrounding it are colonnades 45 feet wide, 20, 30 feet high. It's humongous. The disciple says, look, teacher, what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings. And Jesus said to him, do you see these great buildings? There will not be left one here, one stone upon another, that will not be thrown down. And then there's no more talking. Today, it would take you 30 minutes to walk from the Temple Mount to the Mount of Olives today. Down from the temple into the Kidron Valley, then up, up, up onto the Mount of Olives. That's what's happening between verse 2 and verse 3. And I think they're quiet because they're in shock that the temple is going to be destroyed. And that's why they're asking the question. But I'm telling you all this because we live here. And we're the readers and we're reading it on the paper and we think that they just went to the Mount of Olives. And they didn't. They got the shocker. It's like if somebody would told you on 9/11 in the morning, by the way, they're going to blow up both buildings and knock them down. Then they're going to go to the Pentagon and blow that up. Do you remember the feeling that you had when you saw the buildings come down? I know exactly where I was when the buildings came down. I'm on the phone with my wife on a cell phone over there on 47th Avenue in front of somebody's house. And I'm hearing the news. Cassie's watching it on TV. And she says, the tower just fell. No, it didn't. Babe, the tower just fell. Babe, something's happening. There's a lot of smoke in the tower. Babe, that's impossible. It's impossible. Those buildings can't come down. More news? The Pentagon's been hit. The Pentagon's been hit? Oh, man, that's like where all the armed forces are at. The generals are there. They've hit that. There's another plane. All those things, I don't know, some of you who are younger, but I'm an old person, right? So I remember the feeling of anxiety. Because for whatever reason, folks, we find security in buildings. We don't think that these things can fall. And the Lord is telling the disciples that the place of worshiping God, all this beautiful splendor is coming down. You don't think that that shocked them? You don't think that they felt some anxiety in them? And hence why there's no talking all the way up to Mount Olive? Them guys are in shock. Some people call this the Olivet Discourse. Not some people, a lot of people, you know. They've named this the Olivet Discourse because Jesus gets asked a question from his disciples, and it's like the longest answer Jesus ever gives to any question that's given. But I think we should call it the Olivet Perspective. They have left the Temple Mount. I can't even show you the amount of steps you got to go down to get down off the Temple Mount. They go down off the Temple Mount, through the colonnades first, down the steps. And now they're about 30 minutes out. They're on the Mount Olive. Give me the next slide, Jared. You guys know what that gold thing is, right? The Dome of the Rock, okay? The Dome of the Rock is sitting where the temple used to sit. This is the view from Mount Olive. Jesus saying, does it look that big to you anymore? Is it a big giant building now? No. From Mount Olive, it looks small. I could crush it in my finger. Jesus says, you think that's a big deal? Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. You think the temple is a big, I can flick it off with my finger. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. You're worried about a temple and stones falling? My word is stronger. It lasts longer. It has more power than all those stones and those buildings you feel secure in. Your 401k, it's going to pass away. Your car, it's going to pass away. Your house, it's going to pass away. Your job, pass away. Your diploma, your master's degree, burn it up, baby. It's going to pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But that day, the Lord will come like a thief. And then the heavens will pass away with a roar. And the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved. And the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved. What sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness? Waiting and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt away as they burn. But according to his promise, we are waiting for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me? And where is the place of my rest? For all these things my hands have made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Jesus' words, they are not of this world, just as I am not of this world. Sanctify them in by your truth. Your word is truth. Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of life, or of eternal life. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. The Lord, I think the Lord got quiet. He told them about this temple being, and he just, I'm going to take them over here, and I'm going to let them look at that temple so that they can see that it's nothing, and that even all of this that they can see on this mount with the 360, the heavens and the earth, will all pass away, but my words will not pass away. And be encouraged in that. Be strengthened in that. Stop worrying about this. It's all going to pass away. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your word, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, that your word will not pass away. Thank you, Lord, for just showing us again who you are. That you are the great I am in flesh. For only God's word goes out and does not return void. No other word does that. Not an angel's word. Not a man's word. Thank you, Lord, that you just teach us, even show us your glory in that statement, Lord. That your word will not pass away, and only God's word does not pass away. For it birthed this world and this universe, and it will do the same to be rid of it. Lord, only you have that power. Lord, help us not to be anxious. Help us, Lord, to be awake. Lord, help us not to be in love with this world that is going to pass away. Teach us wisdom, Lord. We don't know how to balance all of that. We don't know how to balance our anxiety, Lord, with it. 401k or not 401k? Do I save? Do I save? Do I pack? Do I not pack? What do I do, God? Lord, help us to seek your face first. And not what man says about this world that is passing away. Surprise! You said it long ago that this world is going to pass away. Help us, Lord, to find peace and to find strength, Lord, in you. Help us, Lord, remember who you are. What you've given us to do, Lord. Why you've called us out of darkness, Lord. It's not for us. It's not for our glory. It's not for our fame. It's to accomplish your purposes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray.
Christ Community Church is a God-glorifying, Christ-exalting, and Bible-centered body of believers who love God and love people by making disciples of Jesus Christ. For more information on us and to learn how to give towards our media ministry, please go to our website at www.christcomchurch.org. That's christcomchurch.org, and look for the Giving tab at the top of the homepage.